He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is Tuesday, August 26th, the live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only advisory firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And will somebody tell the market that, the bell rang, it's open, you can do something. Listen to this. The Dow is down minus 0.02, that's 0.02%. The NASDAQ is down 0.01%, or actually now it's up 0.02%. And the S&P is down 0.01%. When you got to measure the market in hundredths of percentage points, you know it's pretty dull.
Four decimal places when it comes to percents, right?
That's pretty. Could it be said that it's waiting for NVIDIA's earnings tomorrow after the close of the market? There's always something we're waiting for, right? And the rate cut talk certainly wore off rather quickly. What happened to that? We had the big rally on Friday and now a little cooling. You know, the valuations do matter, and that we'll talk about that here on today's show. The bond market also very quiet today. Gold is up a little bit. It's about the only thing making any kind of a move at all. And Bitcoin continues its sell-off. It's down 900 a day. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Looks like about the most exciting thing taking place in the markets today is this whole controversy with Fed Governor Cook, who got cooked last night, got fired, canned, and she's not leaving. I mean, she reported to work. She's at her desk. She's doing her thing. She's got her feet dug in the sand. She says President Trump doesn't have the power to fire her, even though it looks like she claims two residences as permanent residences, which you can't do.
Well, 15 days apart, I think, on two different applications, so it's a little hard to... You kind of go to that accidental
You'd expect better than that from the Fed governors who manage the money, really, look over interest rates and key things like that. And you can only have one permanent residence. You get a favorable treatment on a loan on your main number one residence, and you got to pay a little bit extra if you have a second residence. And no, that seems to have caught several people recently. It caught Letitia James. I believe that was her issue, the Attorney General of New York. It's got the guy out in California, the senator. Think of his name in a minute. He just beat Steve Garvey, one of my favorite Dodgers of all time, because he ended his career with the Padres. but it's also got him caught up, Mr. Russia collusion guy, Adam Schiff, and now we've got Lisa Cook caught up in this same thing, fudging on those mortgage loans.
Well, and the difference is, I mean, you know, if you have getting a mortgage on a second home, your rate's going to be higher, number one, and potentially you may not even qualify for the loan if it's your primary residence. So there's some, you can make it out to be something simple, but it's in reality, it is fraud, right?
Yes, it's fraud. Well, the market sold off a bit yesterday towards the end of the day, really on no news. I noticed that in the Dow, there's, soggy stocks remain soggy stocks. And Pfizer had a little bit of excitement there for a while, and now it's dropped right back down into its sideways ways. And Merck, same thing. A Merck, a member of the Dow, very soggy member of the Dow. 3M, pretty soggy. Amgen, very soggy. and Procter & Gamble very soggy. Surprisingly, the stock of the year in the Dow, besides NVIDIA, is Johnson & Johnson. I think Johnson & Johnson is up 24% year-to-date. But that was kind of a move towards companies that weren't impacted by the tariffs, I think. Although, you know, they're not out of the woods yet. I mean, Trump is still talking about some big tariffs on pharmaceutical products and bringing the prices way down on drugs. So I would say Johnson & Johnson may be having a moment in the sun. But take a look over the last 1, 3, 5, and 10 years at the performance of the stock, and it's pretty dismal. I think the other thing in the asset classes is the sell-off in Bitcoin. That's got to be testing a few people's mettle or lack thereof, backing up their Bitcoin or their whatever their crypto of choice is. But it's been a pretty stiff sell-off there. And, you know, that's all I can say. It's always rebounded in the past to hit new highs. But at some point in time, I kind of see that, wow, you know, that scary moment when people maybe you start to see a little bit of panic selling in the cryptos, which hasn't happened in a while. India is reconsidering their Russian oil imports. And, of course, President Trump is pounding his big chest, on the effect the tariffs do have on countries around the world. And, you know, we have seen it, whether you're for it or against it. Seems to me like it's a better weapon than lining up troops on the border or buzzing the country with stealth bombers, you know, like China does with Taiwan, or circling the island with destroyers and aircraft carriers. Instead, just slap some tariffs or threaten to slap tariffs. Refiners in India, among the largest buyers of Russian crude, are reportedly planning to trim their purchases in the coming weeks. Hey, we'll sell you oil. I'm sure Texas will sell you oil. I'm sure Cheniere Energy out of Houston, one of the cities we're herd in on a daily basis, will sell liquid natural gas to you, India. You don't have to be doing business with Russia. You don't have to be funding their war.
Well, they're getting about a 25% discount. So that's where the rub is.
Okay,
they're the only ones. Some of the only ones buying it.
I'm half Scandinavian, and you know, we do like a good deal. You know, and a favorable price, and my wife's mother was all Lebanese. I never saw anybody that was a better deal maker than. She would always try to get a free dessert, you know, when we went out to dinner. You know, my food was a little late. Maybe give me a piece of cheesecake afterwards. So, and I would just say that people from India are known to be that way. And people from really all over the world are known to be that way, but some more than others. And India's getting a good price on the oil, but it just so happens it's coming from a bad player in the world. With Putin, and the U.S. is trying to put pressure on Putin, and as long as India is buying their oil, that's a problem. So that's a modest concession to Washington, coming less than a day before a scheduled hike in U.S. tariffs. Those tariffs are going up if they don't stop doing what they're doing. So anyways, they are cutting back on their buys, but is it enough to offset and to avoid higher tariffs? I don't think so. I think Trump's going to play hardball there with India, and it could come back to bite them. The tariffs will more than offset, you know, the money they're saving and buying Russian oil on the black market. And then in turn, their refineries are turning around and selling it to other countries for a big profit. Durable goods orders slow their decline. Okay, it was only -2.8 instead of -4, which we were expecting. I don't know if we can take a victory lap on that. Where I'm seeing, I'm sure a Boeing jet airliner, that's a durable good, isn't it? We would hope it's a durable good if we get on those planes.
Right, it would be.
But we've seen some orders. Now we've got another one. Who is it?
We just had that big
South Korea.
Yeah, we just had the big one last week that you announced in terms of China buying a big Boeing order. And, yeah, so we got a Korean order.
Yes,
as well.
South Korea making nice with President Trump and going to buy 100 more. You know, you drive by that Boeing plant, they're running out of room. It seems to me, I guess they have
they're
to
knocking
have
down warehouses and rebuilding. I know. Yeah, I saw that. So.
And they're in kind of an area. I suppose there's room to expand there. But you'd think they would have put that thing out in the country a little bit, which we've got plenty of here in South Carolina. But instead, it's right next to the international airport. You can't even believe the cranes, the construction between the airport upgrade becoming a bigger airport, and Boeing right there sharing that same property. Man, that is boomtown right now. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Barry, I'm looking forward to going to the heartland, the center of tech, the center of the tech center in Santa Clara, the headquarters of Intel, which is now owned 10% by the U.S. government. And, of course, that's going to be September 16th, 17th, and 18th, a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's been a while since I've made a trip to the Bay Area and done a workshop and met with the folks there. But that's going to become hopefully a biannual trip out there to that neck of the woods. My former home state of California, and I have definitely spent a lot of time in that area during my years in the industry. And we're going to be at the Santa Clara Marriott. On those days, those one-hour appointments are going like hotcakes. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they begin at 7 a.m. In the morning and go till 7 p.m. in the evening. Or whatever it takes, if you want to grab one of those one-hour appointments to meet with the team, myself, Barry, and Jeff, behind closed doors in a nice conference room with some nice refreshments, etc., come meet with us. You better grab one of those appointments. You got to call Edie at 855-611-BEST. She puts these trips together, and she's a master at it. 855-611-BEST. And if you want to attend that workshop Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at that Marriott in Santa Clara, once again, that same number to reserve a seat, 855-611-BEST. The gap between mortgage rates and the 10-year treasury have hit the lowest level in over 3 years. And that can only mean one thing. Generally speaking, when you see that gap narrow, that's between the 10-year treasury and mortgage rates. That means rates are going down. The spread was 2.2% points as of August 22nd. That's down from 2.5. So if you take, the 10-year and you add on 2.26, so right now you're at, 4.3, you add on 2.26, 6.5 for the 30-year mortgage, somewhere in there. It was up near 7, so they've come down about 40 basis points, I think.
Above 7 for a little while, yeah.
So the spread is falling. And that's a good thing. That means that rates are going down, but it's still a big problem. And I'm hearing from a lot of different industries. We talked about the lumber industry yesterday. We talked about sawmills. We had a big sawmill out in near Somerville here, South Carolina, closed down. We talked about lumber prices. We talked about the building trade. We've talked about the people in the mortgage business. This is good news for the mortgage folks, but still, 6.5 is still a difficult rate to swallow. But that it's moving in the right direction. Okay, there's some big moves here today in some various indices. And we have one that we own that's entering into the S&P 500. That's a feather in your cap. to enter into that S&P. And, you know, I think we've had quite a few stocks over the years.
Oh, yeah.
That ended up being in the S&P 500 that we found early on and were big investors in. Of course, we were investors in NVIDIA way before it entered into the Dow.
You were calling for Intel to be knocked out of the Dow.
Yeah, I said, kick Intel out and put NVIDIA. They listened to me, I guess. Now we've got Interactive Brokers joining the S&P 500. So congratulations to them. And, you know, they serve, that's a pretty good niche. They've approached us several times about using them as a custodian. And, you know, we are completely 100% with Schwab, which makes it a lot easier for me when I place trades. If I was with several different custodians, I'd have to place trades at each custodian. It gets a little bit messy.
Something. Right, yep.
I'm sure there's software now that aggregates the trade amongst several custodians so everybody gets the same price, but it gets a bit messy. But I would say this about Interactive Brokers. If you're really into foreign stocks, Europe, Chinese stocks, different exchanges, that seems to be one of the areas where they do very well at. But, you know, they've been growing by 29% per year over the last 5 years. They do serve a niche, and they've been a very good growth stock. They're headquartered in Greenwich, Connecticut. Their market cap is $27 billion, so my hat is off to Interactive Brokers, IBKR, which is in our ultra-growth portfolio. Yeah.
Question is, who got kicked out of the S&P 500?
Let's see if it says here who got kicked out. Well, Walgreens Boots Alliance not only got kicked out of the Dow, now they're going private, I believe.
Okay.
They got bought out by a big institution. Man, I wouldn't buy that stock or that company. So they're not even going to be a publicly traded company anymore. Now the question is, Interactive Brokers was in the mid-cap 400, and one of our stocks is replacing it in the mid-cap 400, and that's Talon Energy.
Oh, awesome.
And Talon is up 5.1% on that news. Talon is one of the nuclear stocks that we own, and it is headquartered in Houston, Texas, where we've got to plan a trip here at some point in time. As soon as we get done with our California trip, we'll start thinking about Minnesota and Houston and Pittsburgh, three more that we still need to visit. Talon Energy up 5.1%. Talon's a $17 billion company. So you wonder what a mid-cap is. Well, that's a good example. Yeah, I'm going to say somewhere in the 15 to 20 to 100 range, probably 100 billion in this marketplace, constitute a mid-cap. And good action on it. It's replacing Interactive Brokers in the mid cap of 400. Okay, now we had that big rally on Friday, and there was something else that happened on Friday that Trump's taking credit for. He says the market moved because of the new CBO estimate on tariffs. And it is true. I mean, it's pretty significant the impact that the tariffs are going to have on the deficit. And, you know, we've been saying that all along, that when they looked at that big, beautiful bill and did the math on it, they left out two important things that any analyst would include. Anticipated growth, GDP, that's money coming in from an expanding, growing economy. They didn't put any growth into their model that they built. In fact, they said the big, beautiful bill will add to the deficit. But if you add a little bit of growth, let's just say 2%, that would even things out. And then if you add in the tariff intake, which is now, they're admitting the CBO says the trade deficit will be reduced by $4 trillion. During the period that the big, beautiful bill covered. And we were saying that also. We were right again. WWRA. We were right again that they were missing two big inputs into their model. Oh, well. Bad math, Fuzzy Math. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
To the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let's see if the market has moved at all. If the needle has moved at all, man, it was dead flat at the open. Well, it's moved not much. The NASDAQ has moved the best. The NASDAQ's up 36 points right now. That's exciting. I just looked at Arista Network. Which, you know, I sent out a text yesterday about NVIDIA, which is going to report after the close of the market. I got to say that during my career in the industry, I've seen a lot of good stocks come along, but I think NVIDIA might be number one on the list as the greatest stock I've seen during my career in the business. I've never seen a stock go like that to the Dow. To the Dow Jones and knock Intel out of place. You know, and my hat is off to Jensen Huang, man.
And reinvented themselves. I mean, yes. They were a video. I mean, it was a a video card company essentially for graphics for your for your computer games and things of that nature. And then, of course, they've taken off to powering the AI revolution. Right? I mean, it's pretty amazing. And the calm before the storm in the markets, to yesterday was pretty bland. Today's pretty bland. My guess is tomorrow might be pretty bland until the close when they report. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to say that Arista Networks, which I just looked at, that was the first stock. Sometimes I look at them in alphabetical order or by market, but today I'm in alphabetical order. I change things up to keep my life interesting. Arista Networks has been it's got to be in the top 10 or 15 of all the stocks I have found in my lifetime. And, man, it just continues to look good. We just continue to buy it, and we own it in our Premier Growth and our Ultra Growth portfolio. It's today's Cisco. It's what Cisco was in the early, late 1998 or so, I think, is when Cisco came along. Cisco ruled the roost. That was when we were networking and when we were telecoms were adding internet services. And man, Cisco was in a great
place.
The old
switches. Yeah,
the switches and the routers. Now, okay, I saw an article today. NVIDIA is obviously the first $4 trillion company. What will be the next $4 trillion? And by the way, NVIDIA's chart was really great yesterday, and it's adding on today. That's an excellent chart on NVIDIA, although it is in a bit of a sideways trend, but it's had a massive run-up since April, and it's by far our biggest holding. It's become that way. We have cut it a few times. But the earnings power of this company is just enormous. Well, I see one firm out there, and I think I would agree with this. Best Brokers, I don't really know who they are, but he's predicting that Meta will become the next $4 trillion company. Well, they would have to leapfrog over Apple. Wow. For Meta to... They'd have to leapfrog over Apple and Microsoft, which are not $4 trillion companies. They're in the $3 trillion. Meta is 1.8. But I agree that of all of these big cap Fabulous 7, NVIDIA and Meta are by far the superior growth stocks in that, whatever you call them, Magnificent 7, Fabulous 4, they have different names. And I do think the growth trajectory for Meta, and we've written several articles about Meta, probably time for another one, but my time is so – it's hard to squeeze out articles right? these days, Barry, yeah. when we're going to Cleveland and Bloomfield Hill. What am I supposed to do, sit there and write an article like meeting with folks yeah, right. and teaching workshops and writing newsletters and managing portfolios? That's probably the one area that I wish I had more time to for is those articles for Seeking Alpha. But anyways, Meta is predicted, at least by this company, to become well, that's more than a double from here, if you believe them. IBM and AMD join hands to build the future of computing. So AMD and IBM is hitching their wagon to AMD, and AMD's had a couple of good days in a row also. We stepped into AMD in our relative value portfolio when it got down to a pretty low P.E. ratio recently. Shoot, this stock got down to $80 a share. You know, AMD's doubled since mid-March. It's doubled. Okay, that's the magnitude of the move in a lot of these tech stocks that were beaten up because of those tariff fears. And it spooked a lot of people. The tariff fears, Barry, you know this from being in the business for a number of years, and I certainly know it. There's people that just fold their hand and toss, push all
their yeah.
and the market. And leave the market when there's fears like that. It was very disruptive to the market. We knew it was coming. You know, Trump won an election with that fact that he was going to start imposing tariffs. I mean, he said it himself. This is my favorite word, tariffs.
Yeah, and the market hates uncertainty.
Not
as
Melania,
we always say,
but right? tariffs, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure he heard about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, but no, I mean, uncertainty, right? That was what, you know, essentially the market hates uncertainty. And, you know, like you said, sometimes when you get uncertainty, folks just, you know, will just sell and you know, wait, right? In
terms yes. of, and I've learned over time that there's certain things that you just have to ride through, okay? You just got to be a big boy or a big girl and fasten that seatbelt. But I realize this is retirement money. Some people, a lot of people, they're not bringing in money anymore, and they're depending on this money. And a 20% sell-off was kind of a panic point there in the market.
And it happened fast.
It happened very quickly. And it was, and you know what else? It was 1,000 points a day on the Dow. And that makes headlines. It's one thing to have a $200, $300 sell-off in the Dow, but 1,000 point, 1,300, that spooks. Those were spooky headlines. And now as you look back on that April, that first week in April, and I went home and had a kind of a come-to-Jesus moment and said, you know, boy, I'm getting a little bit nervous myself here. And, you know, I came out of that weekend with a total feeling of peace and calm and that everything was going to be all right. And I think, you know, I think our Fed's our Treasury Secretary for his wonderful interview right. and his calmness and his, you know, explaining why and what they're trying to achieve. And now, really and truly, for me to write that article and say, I think the tariffs are going to work, look at this. They've lowered the deficit projections by $4 trillion now. Even the CBO is admitting that. They've stopped, according to Trump, four wars because I know India and Pakistan for one and a few other skirmishes. And now he's using that as a weapon against India in the Russia-Ukraine, and he's using the threats of sanctions and crippling sanctions on Putin as a weapon. You have to say that it's also worked to bring about some peace. And we have had very few companies really say that much unless they totally jobbed everything out overseas, which some did. Apple would be a good example of that, and they're the ones that got affected. But overall, the earnings estimates that I track so closely on an annual basis, the 2025, 2026, 2027, I've seen no impact whatsoever from the tariffs on those mega picture, the big picture of the market, which I call the, you know, the macro outlook, which I update every week in the newsletter. So I think the controversy of the headline, I think the tariffs are going to work. I got to look back and say they have, and they're working, even though it certainly caused a lot of disruption. And, you know, we probably saw a more normal amount of people throwing in the towel and leaving the market, even though it was probably the worst thing you could have done. But hey, you know, that's the way the market is. It can also become emotional at times, and you have to not let emotions get the best of you. You have to step back and look at the earnings. And I've said that many, many times. That takes the emotion out of the markets for me. I look at NVIDIA and the power of the earnings that they've had. I mean, tariffs have had no impact on them whatsoever. Okay, when we come back, AMD also got an upgrade, by the way, today. I want to talk about a few other things, a couple other companies in the news today, including this rare earth, this company out of Utah, continues to make waves. We'll be right back.
In a golden cage on a winter's day.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. A couple of rare earth stocks in the news. But this story, I just can't help mention here. This comes under the category of, don't they have anything else better to do? A German court rules that the Apple Watch is not a CO2 neutral product. You know, I was really worried about that, Barry. I saw a guy in the grocery store the other day coming down the aisle with an Apple Watch, and I go, oh, that thing's giving off CO2. I don't want to go by him. But anyways, they're going to fine them because they've been advertising it as a CO2 neutral product, but a German court, how much time did they spend with juries and, you know, different kinds of testimony and cross defense? And that's a regional court in Frankfurt. Apple actually built, Apple has a eucalyptus trees on leased land in Paraguay to offset the emissions that it takes to produce the Apple Watch. So anyways, just think about that when you're wearing your Apple Watch. You're harming the environment. Now, the stocks I wanted to talk about, and I don't know how rare earth, digging rare earth out of the ground, there's got to be a little bit of pollution there's two things, actually. I wanted to mention this story. Robinhood, why are they getting into sports betting? The NCAA has issued strong warnings. And, of course, look, college football starts Saturday, right? Doesn't Texas play Ohio State on Saturday?
Yep, that's going to be a big one. That's 1-2, I think, to start the
three.
Year.
So, yep. I read 3. I don't know who 2 is. Who's 2? It would probably, I don't know who 2 is.
Yeah, it probably depends on the AP poll or coaches poll. I know one of them has number 1-2, so it. I think it's the first time it's happened on opening day. So we'll see.
But why is Robinhood getting involved in the prediction markets for college sports? They have a new offering that allows trading on the results of college football games. You know, Robinhood is a brokerage firm.
Well, and if they kind of remember, they were kind of getting into it in terms of the prediction business. In terms of you could buy like something from them to bet, essentially bet on the outcome of the election. Remember, and they got kind of I think the SEC kind of asked them not to do that. I believe.
Yeah. Then another trend that's a little disturbing: this Versa Bank, which is an online 100% online bank. They're going to have tokenized deposits, meaning that, you know, they don't take in the money, really. They give you a token. I don't like that trend either, but they're going to experiment with that. They're a completely online bank. I don't like the tokenization move either. That's a scary deal. Now, energy fuels, that's UUUU. Let's see how they're doing. They sign a memorandum of understanding for rare earth oxide supply with Vulcan Elements. Vulcan Elements is actually in North Carolina, and they're the ones that take in these rare earth oxides and convert them to these magnets. So they sign an exclusive deal with them. Vulcan manufactures high-performance rare earth magnets for defense and commercial applications, and they operate a commercial manufacturing facility in North Carolina. So there you go. The raw material comes out of the ground in Utah and is sent to North Carolina to be processed into these much-needed magnets. And then the other one, Centrus Energy, which is probably the leading uranium miner outside of Kazakhstan in Russia. Centrus, I believe it's that's LEU. Let me see. I'm pretty sure that's a Canadian company, but it's a sizable company. It's $3.5 billion market cap. Actually, it's headquartered in Bethesda, Maryland. But I'm sure they get the. I'm sure they're not digging uranium out of the ground there in Bethesda. But they sign a memorandum of understanding with Korea Hydro and Nuclear Power to explore potential investment to support expansion of Centrus uranium enrichment plant in Piketon, Ohio. And we talked about that a little while back. How they're taking an EV factory and converting it to a uranium enrichment plant. That's a pure play on uranium, LEU. They supply low-enriched uranium for commercial nuclear power plants. And I can't wait. I talked to some young adults on Sunday at church, and he says, I'm being taught how to fire up the nuclear reactors on aircraft carriers that are, you know, based up at, Virginia, at the Navy base there. I can't wait to talk
Norfolk.
I can't wait to talk to some of those kids about the whole process. And Centrus Energy is up 12.3% today. It's making a big move, you'd have to say. And, of course, they're working on this new type of fuel. This is HALEU, and that's another whole different set of companies working on the new fuel for these reactors, and we've talked about those companies in the past also. So that's a very interesting part of the market right now. Rare earth, nuclear, SMR reactors. We read the other day that Rolls-Royce and GE Vernova are also competing in that small space with Oklo and SMR. And then, of course, the fuel company, there's several of those, one of them backed by Bill Gates. So it, really an interesting sector to keep an eye on and follow. All right. Well, we are out of time for today. You know, all these stocks we talk about during the week, I take the best of the best on a daily basis, and that goes out in the newsletter every Saturday, and it's got the blurbs that I bring. I'm an aggregator of all these different bits of news, almost like the old Drudge Report or Citizen Free Press, and you can look into those companies. Sometimes you might say, what was the symbol on that one or whatever, but that's all in the newsletter. And, of course, some of them end up in our portfolios. I follow a lot of different stocks from a lot of different industry and always looking for a leg up, you know, on the rest of the market with superior growth companies or ideas that are way ahead of everybody else. If you'd like to talk to us, if you'd like to make an appointment in person there in Santa Clara in mid-September or over the phone from anywhere in America or Zoom, whatever you prefer, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. If you'd like to sample the four-week trial to our newsletter and learn about stocks like we talk about on the air, Get a four-week trial at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great
day,
everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.